Hey everyone, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. This is Dave Johnson, joined by Eric Astersliger.
Hello.
And Daryl Loomis.
Hi, hi.
And Mac is busy at work. Busy at work, being the productive, engaged citizen he is. So we're just going to soldier forth. And speaking of soldier, I'll kick us off talking about what's been up. And first things first, speaking of Mac, we caught Dread 3D last week. So, Eric, I'm guessing you probably didn't sneak out of the house to see it, so...
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Daryl, how about you? Any interest in Dread?
I'm still in a wait-to-see mode on that.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I had pretty high expectations for it, because there's some great word of mouth, but I came away disappointed, actually. It was, I liked the atmosphere, that was kind of cool, but, I mean, the action, there wasn't really great action. I mean, honestly, all Dread did, as far as I can tell, is... He threw gas grenades and he stunned the bad guys, and then he just shot them in the back while they were distracted. So that was like the sum total of how Dredd approached, which is smart. Hey, it's smart soldiering, but I do have to say, kind of made for a disappointing action movie. You know?
Yeah, that's pretty much how you play Halo, right?
That's true. Yeah, right. So
you got to get the shields down first, and then
pretty much shields down, and then so yeah, I guess that much is true. So yeah, but unfortunately, it was kind of a miss for me. I know I did great word of mouth, and it's a pretty. Fantastic aggregate review scores, but yeah. And then lastly, talk a little about TV stuff going on. Two comedies that we've been watching that are returning, that's Parks and Recreation and The Office. And talk about two shows going in the opposite directions, at least judging from the premieres. I wasn't a huge fan of the fourth season of Parks and Rec, but I thought the season premiere was great.
Was very
definitely.
Good. It was
it's like in one episode, they really dispensed with all the crap that annoyed me so much, you know? Like, they broke up Tom and Ann, you know, which
yes.
is good.
Yes.
They, like, Leslie's character felt like she was kind of in, you know, it was kind of like in a better place for her to be in Pawnee and kind of doing her, you know, how she, like, she's great because she overdoes just, like, little menial stuff in her town, you know? So when she goes to D.C. and just kind of hits up with the bureaucracy, that was, I don't know, I think that kind of reset it a little bit for her because I think she's the funniest when she goes all in with her civic duty, so.
Yeah, I think that was a good scene of showing her not really jiving with Washington and all of that and not really being able to get into that scene. And
yeah, and I'm expecting her to, like, find that bureaucrat guy and wow him with his... with her stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm glad they didn't do that. And she just kind of got, you know, just kind of the red tape swallowed up and she went back to Pawnee. So that I'm feeling pretty good about that. Then Andy and April's reunion in the museum was pretty
good. That was really funny. Really funny.
I mean, like, excellent Andy stuff, I have to say.
Yeah, definitely.
And Ron's barbecue was classic.
Ron's barbecue was a great Ron Swanson moment, absolutely. I thought Chris Traeger was really, really funny as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I laughed pretty, and again, it's, I think Parks and Rec is primarily an ensemble comedy, and I thought they got a lot, they hit a lot of that stuff. I mean, Andy's stuff is great, I love when he was, so Leslie, you are an amalgam, nailed it.
Also, also cameo from, Maine Senator Olympia Snowe.
That's right, there you go, shout out.
Why I think, it was either her or Susan Collins, I'll pretend it was Olympia Snowe. I walked from the door of our high school to her seat. At a high school graduation.
Not bad.
I was basically bodyguard for a...
So. Olympia Snow.
That's right. It might have been Susan Collins. Let's pretend it was Olympia
Let's
Snow.
Let's pretend it was Olympia Snow for the sake of argument. So, yeah. So, a couple cameos, actually a couple fun cameos in there. And so, I don't know. That was... It just really felt like... I don't know. It felt like almost a little reset button to return to form. So,
it was excellent.
See what happens with the long distance stuff and... You know, see what they do with that, but
it'll keep the romance down a little bit rather than it having it be a minute to minute thing.
Yeah, I think
it
so.
It just
that,
can't be.
It seemed to kind of just swallow up the show a little bit last year. So
yeah,
and maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they'll be kind of separate and they'll do their own things. And I have to say, I loved Ron at the end. You know, here's some corn. Great job. And then they actually devoured the pig. So not,
yeah, definitely.
Yes.
So and then meanwhile. I don't know what's going. I mean, The Office has been on life support for a while. It was painful to watch The Office. I don't know what's like. They made Andy, like Andy's like abusing women now, like physically.
Yeah, it was very mean spirited.
It was.
The whole episode was really like cruel.
It was. I agree. I mean, it wasn't like the awkward cruelty of you know Steve Carell, you know, or even the British Office. It was just mean for being mean, I suppose. So
yeah.
I don't know, yeah, just really, yeah, just a weird tone throughout.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since I've been able to stomach that show. They really should have ended it after 4 years.
Yeah, I think it looks like they're going to try to spice it up with some domestic, not disturbance, but, you know, unease between Jim and Pam, I guess, because he's taking a new job or something. I don't know. So,
well, that's never failed.
That's right.
For
right.
The TV show work, so.
I'm sure.
Another baby.
Right. Well, they just need to start solving supernatural crimes. I think they've really.
I'd probably get back to watching if that's where they went.
So yeah, so two shows definitely going in the opposite directions. But the real thing I'm going to be interested in seeing is the Community, obviously, when it returns.
Yeah. What is that? It's like October 6th or something like
that. 19th.
October 19th.
Yeah. Wow, that's a long way away. So
yeah, it's where all the shows that I like are being staggered throughout the fall for their starts, and so I'm a little bit stunted as far as television goes right now.
Well, I'll kick it over to you, Daryl. Why don't you take the reins here?
Not a lot. I've in lieu of anything new to watch, I went and have started getting myself caught back up on the third season of Archer, which I saw only the first three or four episodes of last year, and am happy with it. It's H. John Benjamin is a really funny voice actor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he is. Oh, yeah.
And it's got like half the cast from Arrested Development in it, so how can I really complain?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you know, Jessica Walter's in the exact same role that she was in as Lucille Bluth, just running the spy agency, you know, and I get a kick out of hearing her all the time. So, you know, Jeffrey Tambor makes a couple of appearances, and David Cross makes an appearance in a extended three-part pirate episode. It's an absurd workplace comedy about spies, and it never really fails to make me laugh.
Nice.
But beyond that, not a whole lot.
So what are you looking forward to that's being staggered?
You know, Community, Mad Men. I'll probably watch the last 13 episodes of 30 Rock because I've always, you know, had a soft spot for that. You know, beyond that, we'll just see, you know, but those are really the three shows that I'm looking forward to on any level.
Nice. Nothing new then. Nothing in the
past. Nothing new. Like stuff like Revolution interests me zero.
Yeah. I got, I'm just striking out myself, so.
And so it's just, I don't know, it's, you know, I could break down and watch, start the second season of Two Broke Girls, but I'm not that desperate.
Now, I can't wait for season four of Sons of Anarchy to show up on my doorstep.
I put it in a envelope tonight, so maybe I'll send it tomorrow.
Excellent. Can't wait. Excellent.
We'll talk about that in just a little bit.
All right. So, well, anything else, Daryl?
Not much.
All right. How about you, Eric? Do you have TV stuff you'd like to report on? Or
I do, but nothing new. I've actually started watching Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, that's one of those eternal shows that everyone comes too late and loves it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's one of it's been on Netflix forever. And yeah. I just finally said, I'll start watching this. We had watched the pilot episode maybe a year or so back, and we just never went back to it. I thought it was a show I could watch with my wife. She wasn't all that interested. I got involved in other things, so I watched the whole first season and enjoyed it. It's a good show. I think everything you heard is basically true. I have a feeling it might, you know, get better later on, you know, for all the praise it got. I know that it was kind of people liked it the first season, but it was sort of on the bubble. So one of those shows is, you know, perennially.
Yeah, didn't that go like to DirecTV or something for its
that's season? Yeah, I think that might have even been for the third season.
Okay.
I don't know. This is one of those things that I've heard bits and pieces about here and there. Never really paid that close attention. It's kind of like when I went back and started watching Buffy. It was like, oh, yeah, I remember people talking about this. You guys talked about it on the show all the time. But Friday Night Lights is good. It's very serialized, which I like. It does a good job, kind of like the movie, of kind of getting into a bit of the culture of the, you know, these small towns in Texas that are super into football. Without ever, you know, demonizing it, there's people on both sides. People who are into, people who aren't, you know, no one really comes across as being, kind of a caricature. It's pretty soapy in a lot of ways, but, yeah. You know, it's a network hour long drama, so you kind of, expect that.
Living here, I can report that obsession is literally insane.
Oh yeah, right?
It's like everywhere.
I mean, high school football is an event, right?
It's absurd. It's absurd. Yeah. I mean, there's a school here that, in relatively close to me that put like $4 or $5 million into a new stadium.
Wow.
You know, and just it's this huge, huge complex, you know. I mean, half the colleges in the country would be thrilled to play in a place like this.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where, you know, the season, the first season anyway, is built around, you know, this season of football, and it's this coach's this one coach played by Kyle Chandler, his first season coaching the Dillon Panthers, and all these expectations and what happens to them. And so you know that they're going to go all the way. It's a bit of the Glee thing instead of regionals they have states. But, you know, they seem to be like behind in every single game they play, and then they come back in spectacular fashion. And there's the weirdest thing about the show, the only thing I really don't like about the show, and it's really hard to put my finger on, is the music is kind of terrible. And it's hard to describe except that they play this sort of samey, generic kind of guitar and drum sort of upbeat music behind a lot of scenes. It's kind of like, Dave, you remember we watched Burning Love?
Yeah.
The web series?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Remember how much I enjoyed the spot on, they got the reality TV show music.
Yes, yes.
Come on. Just
yes.
Like underscore. It's like that. It's so weird. It comes on in like the most inappropriate places, and maybe I've been watching too much, you know, too many cable dramas where the music is either used sparingly or it's really tailored to a specific scene. But that's just a weird thing in that show. But I liked it all the same.
And actually, now, the movie is I thought the movie's pretty good as well.
Yeah, I really liked the movie too. And so I watched the first couple episodes of season two. Now, what's weird is that I've heard fans of the show say to skip season two.
Wow.
There are people who actually love the show, hated season two. And maybe I just heard the same person say it multiple times. I don't know. But I can't imagine I can't think of any show that I like and would recommend to people where I would tell them to skip an entire season. Can you think of anything?
So that's a nice little lightning round ambush topic. So yeah. A show that you like that you would skip an entire season. I mean, yeah, I mean, even though I didn't like Parks and Rec, season four, I'd never say skip that.
Right.
What's a terrible season of a show?
It's hard. I mean, I guess the obvious answer would be like the Gene Demanian season of Saturday Night Live, but that's
all right.
That's a special case. That's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like, nothing serialized.
Watch all of Saturday Night Live.
The first season of Community isn't that great until like the 10th or 12th episode, but I wouldn't suggest skipping the whole thing. You lose out. You lose all the characters.
And I disagree with you, but yes, that's
Saved by the Bell, the new class.
Maybe.
Well, okay.
Yeah, especially a show that's so. I mean, this is a heavily serialized show. I mean, each episode goes right into the text, pretty much. So I can't imagine. So anyway. We'll see how I stick with it.
Nothing springs to mind. Like I'm trying to think of a show that dramatically changed tone or changed, you know,
string. I mean, you know, we were a little hard on Sons of Anarchy season three, but it's not like it wasn't a terrible season at all. In fact, it got quite good at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's some of my favorite moments in the whole series so far.
Absolutely.
It's happened towards the end. So, right. Cool. Yeah, I got nothing.
Maybe The Office. It's probably a season of The Office. Although if you pointed to a season of The Office that was terrible, you'd probably say don't watch anything after.
Don't watch it, right.
Never mind. So I guess it doesn't matter.
If it's gone over the rails so far, why would you go back and watch it?
Yeah. I mean, and Justified is one of my favorite shows, but I really did not like the second season very much. I thought it was a huge misfire. But again, it's one of those things where like the worst episode of so-and-so is better than most anything else on TV, right? So.
Yeah, and even Justified Season 2 I thought was great up to a certain point. Like, I remember watching it week to week and thinking, these episodes are great, and then it just sort of took a turn I didn't like. But, again, I wouldn't say don't want
to. That's a good question. So that just means that something must really be rotten in Denmark with that.
Yeah, I have the
second season of Twin Peaks.
Oh, I've never seen it, but that has been...
I can say you could probably skip it.
Yeah. Although, that's the end of Twin Peaks, so it's not like you go back afterwards.
Right. You can't go back afterwards, but it's still, most of that's pretty lame.
Yeah. I will say that something happens in the first episode of Friday Night Lights Season 2 that is such a departure from anything they've done on the show. I can see that playing out in ways that I don't like, so we'll see how that goes.
All right. Very interesting. Okay. With that being said, let's talk about stuff we got coming out for the site. Since we talked about Sons of Anarchy, Eric, I was assuming you were going to talk hit on that then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was not on last week. Was a little under the weather. But I reviewed Sons of Anarchy Season 4, and that is up on the site now. As we just said, Dave and I, not huge, you know, thought Season 3, bit of a misstep in some ways.
Yeah, uneven, I would say.
Uneven. At the very least.
Very high highs, yeah, but yeah. Like a lot of mediocrity, too.
Yeah. I think the thing about Season 3 is that they, you know, divided everybody up. They split everyone up for a large portion of the season. And there were also, early on especially, some really, really, side plots that went nowhere and I just didn't like. But Season 4, everyone's back together again, and I thought it was a real return to form. Really good. What's especially good about the season is it returns to a lot of the themes and conflicts that worked really well in the first two seasons and even the things that kind of drive the show right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of, you know, things that are, you know, either revealed or talked about or that drive characters. They have, I don't know if there's a new heavy, but there, you know, there are new threats. There's some changes to,
hairstyles, correct?
Yeah, I guess so. It's true. I guess Jax has short hair this season. So that's the big news. I really liked it. I think you're gonna like it a lot, Dave.
Yeah, let me ask you this out of curiosity, and this is our quick touch on the Emmys, I guess, which I watched a little bit of it and it melted my soul. So terrible. Can I just say, and I think you guys would agree with me, that you could like take you 10 minutes to find something funnier on the internet than anything you would see coming out of a Hollywood writer's, you know, pen for the Emmys.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's
absolutely.
Just painful. It's like ridiculous. I don't know. It's just a weird disconnect, I guess. But
thanks a lot, Bruce Valanche.
Listen to these presenters and like Jimmy Kimmel's monologue and like the little video skit that preceded it. It's just you spend a little bit of time on, you know, on your favorite humor site and, you know, online and you'd be good to go. So
As much as I like Modern Family and I enjoy it, it's a good show. Yeah. Like, it's certainly not the best show and doesn't deserve to win year after year. I mean, the fact that Community is not even nominated.
That is ridiculous. It is. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And like, even there's like no creativity. I think what's his face on Modern Family has won 3 years in a row. You know. And
right.
So I mean, is it really? You know, is he really bringing that much more new to the table year after year after year? I don't know.
Sure. And, you know, I'm sure Homeland is a great show, but come on, Breaking Bad is obviously the greatest show in the world because I think it's the greatest show in the world. What's wrong with that?
Homeland is very good, and I will say Claire Danes certainly deserved that. But from everything I hear about Breaking Bad, you're probably right.
It is, again, that sort of thing. This is not a show for us at all. It's a show for people who make safe choices for middle America, I guess.
That's so, weird. All right. I would say Olive. I think it seems like everyone's hooked on procedurals and, you know, three camera sitcoms.
It will never die.
It'll never die. Absolutely.
This is a good segue into the other thing that I'm reviewing, which is a British show called Waterloo Road. And the only reason I say that is because on the front of the DVD case, it says it's the UK's number one drama, which is it's interesting how my brain works, because if I saw a DVD box set that said the US's number one drama, I would assume it was the worst thing in the world. But because it's like a British show, I think, oh, this is probably pretty
good.
That's
a good point.
Nice. It's okay.
All right.
I'm happy to report that the British don't have that much better taste than we do. Although the Waterloo Road is a pretty good show. It's a show about kind of this. It's not an inner city school, but it's a school in a poorer area. The kids are tougher. There's a guy who comes in and tries to kind of clean things up. And there's a lot of the kinds of conflicts and characters you'd expect to find, and it's very, again, kind of soapy and all that kind of stuff. And it's fine. You know, the fact that everyone is British certainly helps it seem a little more impressive than it probably is, but I'm enjoying it so far.
I'm still trying to think of the last award that the douchebag Emmy nominators gave out that I agreed with. I'm trying to think, you know, like Katie Sagal won for Sons of Anarchy season one.
Been, yeah.
I think. Michael Chiklis won for The Shield season 1. The Wire was never nominated. Right.
Never nominated.
Which is
Hamm
only the
nominated?
Greatest show ever made. What's that?
Has John Hamm been nominated for?
He's been nominated. He hasn't won. Oh, maybe he must have.
Yeah, I don't think he's won. Unless he won this year, he hasn't won.
Yeah, I mean, so Mad Men's obviously a critical darling. That's pretty good. But I don't. I mean, I don't think it's. I think it won last year. I don't think its season was great, super great the other year. Yeah. And I thought it was a little slow. So I don't know. Just trying to think of anything that
I was glad to see that Louis won a couple of awards.
Yeah,
but the fact that Louis C.K. was beaten out by John Cryer for.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's right. John Cryer. Yeah, very odd. And
it's like, okay, Emmys, you've got nothing for me. That's fine.
I mean, I just don't know how those awards ceremony.
It's like finding out someone's favorite band is Creed. It's like, okay, you're free. That's fine. You're free to like that. We're probably not going to have a whole lot in common. It's okay.
Yeah, I know who you are now.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I watched, they showed a montage of, like, the top comedy moments. Right, like from sitcoms, it was the stupidest thing. They picked just the dumbest stuff. Like, I mean, they had clips from like Parks and Rec, but the clips were dumb. You know, so I just don't know if like there are people who are just totally self oblivious making these decisions. That must be it, right?
Dave, it's kind of like
totally
it's kind of like on America's Funniest Videos.
Yeah,
the baby video always wins.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like it's always
good point.
A kid.
Yeah, good
a cute
point.
Kid. Like that, you know. That,
in fairness, those were funnier than what I saw in the Emmys. I'll tell you that much.
That's true.
Like
that's
the baby videos are getting hit with a wiffle ball bat in the nuts. That
Sorry, one more Emmy thing because I've not watched the Emmys in a couple of years, and I think I accidentally watched it once.
Yeah.
But when I did, they had a montage of moments from the dramatic series.
Yeah.
And like spoiled every single.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
that was the one where it was like Dexter season 4, and they like showed stuff from like the very end. It's like that kind of thing. Where it's like I can't believe. Oh, they show like the last shot of Lost. Like all this stuff. It's like.
See, I'm telling you, these people just have zero self awareness. I think living in different worlds. I think that's what you know. Hey, some of us would not maybe like to get spoiled. You know, maybe that's just what it is. All right, it's free, Daryl. Do you have anything to free us from this depression?
I got a couple of decent movies for that I'm reviewing this week. One is a very surprising. It's called The Tall Man, and it looks like a horror movie starring Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
Which, let me tell you, does not inspire a ton of confidence in me.
Yes.
It's not a horror movie, and it's really good.
Oh, okay.
The first half of it's a horror movie, and then unlike a lot of thrillers and horror movies out there that lay down the twist at the 11th hour and then end the movie and just let you deal with it, it deals with it itself. And I really appreciated that. It changes gears entirely, becomes a wholly different movie, and it works really well. And Jessica Biel was really, really good in it. Playing both sides of the coin. And I was really impressed. It's basically a straight to video movie. But if you're looking for something a thriller that's a little bit different, I would definitely recommend it. And then I just finished minutes before we started here, finished a movie called, Sleepless Night. That's basically, you know, in a lot of ways, like a French version of Taken.
Okay. I was tempted to actually check that out. So I wanted to know. What did you think of that?
It was good. I mean, I'm attracted to it because, like, Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power, the cover is a dude getting punched right in the face. and that's pretty much what the movie is. You know, it sets up a basic plot that's kind of like, basically like Taken. And it's all fist fights and a few gunfights, and it's nice and tense.
Good.
Totally recommend both of those things.
Wow. Yeah, that did appeal to me briefly, so I'm glad you got it and checked it out. And by the way, I think I've mentioned this before, but speaking of kind of surprise import action movies that are sort of kind of like Taken, Point Blank. That's a French movie that's like free on all the free video services. I'd recommend that as well. Another good overseas thriller, Point Blank. So, all right, and then for me, speaking of terrible TV, I got saddled with Terra Nova, the complete series.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about just this show was hyped for a year. You know,
Lost meets Land of the Lost.
I mean, it's not even that. It's the most boring, predictable, safe, like you know your term, Eric, safe show. I mean, it's just complete mediocre dreck, and it's like they build up. they kind of, I'm going to spoil this because who cares, but so they build up a mystery, right? There's like some, there's humans outside running around with the dinosaurs, and they're a nuisance, and we don't know what they're there for, and then you don't know if you can trust the badass guy who was in Avatar and essentially playing the good version of his Avatar character here, and you know, you just, who do you trust? What's the mythology? And then towards the end of this, the series run, you find out, ta-da, that the bad guys are working for, everybody repeat, a corporation that wants to mine and strip mine the Terra Nova place, and that, like, to no one's surprise at all. So it was just totally predictable and lame. And I mean, you could do a little bit, and could you do something a little more interesting? I mean, you've got dinosaurs and you've got a time portal. That's the best you could come up with. You know, another Dances with Wolves takeoff. Like, get us, do something different. But it's just lame. And plus, it's really a family. What's that?
It's just too easy to do otherwise. It's too easy to just cop out and do
it
the
is
easy
so,
thing.
Absolutely. So easy and predictable. And it's really a family show more than anything. And the family here is just so boring. I mean, who?
Yeah.
HD teen and, you know, precocious girl. And it's just lameness all around. So I don't know. It's just a weird misfire. You'd think that after all that hype and all the money, because there's certainly budget on the screen, they were just taking a hard look at the plot, you know?
Yeah, I watched the first few episodes. I remember being struck by how bad the dinosaur animation looked. The dinosaur effects looked.
Oh, see, that was actually
still
the one thing that.
Okay.
That was actually the one thing I thought they kind of got sort of right. Just in relative, you know, relative to TV budgets.
Sure, sure. I guess
you get what you get, but.
I expect too much.
Yeah, I thought it was actually a little better than I expected, but the dinosaurs essentially kind of go in the background anyway, and you're saddled with a lot of this
family garbage.
Yes, it's garbage. So enough of that. So let's move on to stuff that's coming up next week. DVDverdict.com/upcoming cover gallery. It's one of you guys, why don't you run with it right now while I pull.
We do an October 2nd.
I think so. Right, I think so. Yeah.
Mac usually does this part, so I never pay attention. let's see. Ooh, Dark Star is coming out on Blu-ray. The old sci-fi movie by the writer of it's John Carpenter. It's the Thermostellar edition. Mm. It's kind of cheesy, but Dan O'Bannon and John Carpenter working together, it does the job. It does the job. Although the main villain is basically a giant living medicine ball. So that's a little bit disappointing, but it's still an awesome movie.
Did you ever see Dale? Did you ever see Deep Star 6?
I was actually talking with with somebody earlier this week about, because there were three undersea horror movies that all came out the same
right,
year.
Deep Star 6,
Leviathan,
what was
and the Abyss.
The Abyss, right? Okay.
And Leviathan was always my favorite, but I liked all three of them. I haven't seen Deep Star 6 in, it must be 20 years, but I loved it when it came out.
I just remember walking by it in the video store and thinking, ooh, that looks creepy, that looks scary.
But. You know, it was as far as I remember, it was the most horror of all of those, and which appeals to me, obviously. But yeah, all of those were really good. Even though I liked Leviathan the best, Deep Star 6, it had the best cover, and it had the, you know, the diving bell suit, which is also pretty awesome.
Diving bell suits are pretty great. Let's see. Well, speaking of horror, more like horrifying, there's a couple of Van Damme movies coming on Blu-ray. So Cyborg, I think we talked about that last week. So Cyborg is not bad. Death Warrant, just kind of lame. Double Impact is shockingly bad. I don't know if you've ever seen Van Damme's Double Impact.
Can it be that shocking when it's Van Damme and Van Damme?
It's so bad. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's not. It's so bad, though. He's playing, you know, so he's playing two. It's so bad. Yeah, two roles and not. And they're so desperate. Like, you say they were writing this, and, like, a producer said, wait a minute, this is an R-rated action movie, and there's no nudity in this, you know? And the writer's saying, well, we just have no place for it in the script. Find me some nudity. So what happened is, towards the end of the movie, as one of the Van Dams is driving a ship, he starts daydreaming, and he daydreams about having sex with this attractive blonde woman he's with.
Really?
Yes. So they put a daydream sex scene in there. And it's obviously because they had to fill that MPAA box somehow, you know. So
that's
it was really pathetic. Yeah.
That's pathetic. Speaking of pathetic, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Love it.
The 25th anniversary edition. Wow.
Love it. I love Masters of the Universe. It's so, you're right, it's terrible. It's so terrible. I love it dearly.
Now, that takes place in Texas, right, primarily? Their yes. stuff is Texas there? Okay. But she wants to move to New Jersey?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I love
Doesn't
it.
Make any sense. All right,
the movie's great because, you know, it's got there must whatever town that all this is going down in, the police force must be severely underfunded because there's like laser battles and alien warfare and the cops never show up. The cops are never around. So, hey, good, you know, bad for the town, good for me.
Just a little ways on from Masters of the Universe. You guys ever watched The Mysterious Cities of Gold, a TV show?
I
think it was on like Nickelodeon when I was a kid.
Maybe, yeah.
I remember, I mean, it looks like it was, I don't know, maybe French or Spanish or something, and then it was just dubbed. Maybe it was Japanese. But, yeah, I remember it had a great theme song. As everything did before a certain time.
Oh, that stuff really sticks with it. The soundtracks, the TV shows, apparently, yeah.
There's this Classic Monsters collection, which is apparently pretty sweet.
Universal one?
The Universal Classic Monsters, apparently that's pretty sweet with some new restorations of all of these things, even though a lot of the movies are kind of marginal, in my opinion. It's good to see, you know, Dracula. It's especially good to see Bride of Frankenstein and, you know, getting a real good transfer. So that's nice to see.
Boy, the movie Atomic Brain Invasion looks like a Garbage Pail Kid card, doesn't it?
Like a brainy Billy or something.
Yeah, that's
like that.
Right. Yeah.
Flesh Rip Frankie, something.
Okay, well, so, you know.
Not a great week.
Not super great. Although, Masters of the Universe on Blu-ray does kind of sound like, holy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
Don't make me tell you the Pig Boy story. We're not going to do that again. Okay, so, Inverly City Sonic Dude Release of the Week, Daryl.
I think the best one that I can find here is Show Me Your Glory.
That's good. That's not too bad. Eric?
I'm not sure how the title actually works on the DVD, but Thomas and Sarah Upstairs Downstairs.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
You know, there's actually not a terrible – this a pretty maybe not a great week for DVDs, but a good week for really sleazy sounding DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to go with – Milk of Sorrow.
That's a good one.
Very good.
My backup was Pete's Dragon.
That's good, too. I mean,
oh, wait, is Pete's Dragon out?
Oh, yeah. I that on there. Blu-ray.
I mean, there's a lot. You got the hole, you know, here. You got that's a pretty good one, too. Yeah, lots to choose from.
Lots and lots to choose from, yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to Amber's topics. Daryl, why don't you go first?
I had a couple. I guess the one I'm feeling best about right now is funny product placement scenes, whether it's in movies or television.
Like legitimately funny? Generally funny ones?
Yeah, or odd.
Legitimately funny, I'll go with Wayne's World.
Yes, Newprin.
The whole, yeah, Newprin.
That's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
good. That's very good. Okay, then I'm going to go with legitimately funny Burger King and Arrested Development.
Yep. That was the other one.
That was my main one.
You can't come in here with Arrested Development as your main one and not expect.
That's right.
Yeah, well, no, it's kind of whoever goes first between Dave and me is going to pull that one down, I suppose. With Carl Weathers, just you know, selling the free refills on drinks.
That's right.
It's really special. So I'll go with a similar one then. The Subway episode of Community.
Oh yeah,
very good. Yeah,
you know, eat fresh.
That's actually some of the best product placement in a TV show that I've seen. Whereas actually, like they took Subway on as a sponsor.
Right.
Subway said Subway gave them the freedom to like do all that stuff with the corporate humanization, all that stuff. Like it was really, really great. As opposed
they probably
to
got their money's worth too, you know.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, like Chuck TV show sponsored by Subway. Subway kind of partially like saved the show, and you know, it's a little in your face when everyone, when people are being rewarded by being given Subway sandwiches and that kind of thing. But yes, yeah, that was a great episode.
Actually, Subway is omnipresent. There was a Subway must have sponsored Make It or Break It as well, and that was actually this is a pretty good topic, Derek, because there's a lot of like inadvertently funny ones. So there's a scene where one of the girls is walking. It's lunchtime. She pauses, engages a long conversation with her friends with like a Subway sub. On a, you know, prominently held on a tray, you know, and the camera is just like playing over. But my favorites are the car product placements in episodes of 24.
Oh yeah,
those are the best. Like,
and those have to be inspired by the James Bond, the more recent James Bond. Yeah, James Bond in an Audi.
Yeah, that's true. Although I mean, Bauer's running around in a Hyundai Genesis. So
yeah, that's true. Okay, fair enough.
Or he's trying to, you know, they're trying to spring him from the Chinese torture camp in the middle of the night in a bright white Ford Escape.
That was nice.
That was one of my favorites as well.
I like it when shows show off some sort of kind of OnStar type technology.
Yeah,
like,
White
Collar did it. I think Fringe has an episode where they basically
the sprint. They do a lot of sprint stuff.
Yeah.
That's good.
everything at 24 was powered by Cisco. I remember
it was,
that.
Yes.
Like all of the like evil mastermind corporations were
Cisco clients. Yes. All right, I'll go next, I suppose. So again, Terra Nova was a big disappointment. So disappointing fictional worlds. Lame fictional worlds.
Well, I'm going to go with one that's probably not going to be very popular, but I'm going to say Lost. A lot of people love that show, but for a single island, they had more things going on that they had never seen before over years and years and years than ever should be on a small desert island in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, nice. Eric, rebuttal?
It was magic.
A lot of people love it, and you know that's what it is. But I was really excited for it when it came out, and got about a season and a half before I got disgusted, and tried over and over again to come back into it, and just felt like the whole thing, the island got bigger and bigger and bigger, and more people were on it, and it seemed like they were just throwing stuff at you. I will
say that as much as I loved that show, like when I watched it, I have not felt any desire to go back and rewatch it. So, for what that's worth, I will still defend Lost. I will even defend the ending of Lost, but that's okay.
All right, Eric, your turn.
So to this point of fictional, I'm gonna go with a controversial choice myself. I recently on this very podcast, I believe, badmouthed the Terminator movies.
Yes.
So I'm gonna go with the Terminator movies, because you basically, especially the first one, which is a pretty good movie. I mean, they all had things to like about them, but basically, you know, everything takes place in the present time, and all the cool stuff it seems is happening in the future that we never really get to see until I guess Terminator Salvation. But it's always the same flash forward to a tank crushing skulls, and that's like, it's like you get 30 seconds of like cool war against the machines, and then the rest of it just takes place in a city that could be
weightlifting montages and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know.
You know, it's not. Yeah, it might as well be Rocky at that point.
So it's, you know, it's like James Grant has this cool sci-fi idea, but he just is not going to show it.
Yeah,
he's going to show people running down the street and being chased in trucks, which is fine.
It's fine, but it's like every other 80s, early 90s action movie.
But you know, if you're going to show the exact same flash forward sequence in every movie with slightly better CGI, you know, slightly better effects than whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll continue the dump-a-thon and go for my laugh. And that was Pandora in Avatar. You know, it was just, I mean, and that's just kind of more relative to the hype, I suppose. You know, how, I mean, I just remember there were like message boards of people saying, oh, I want to just fall asleep and wake up in Pandora. You know, and as far as I could tell, it was just kind of a real leafy, foliage-rich travelogue with, you know, like horses or deer with three sets of legs, I think, right?
The Shire with blue people.
The Shire, I mean, yeah, with lot, you know, a giant tree. I mean, it was really just jungly and, I don't know. So, yeah, again, it's obviously no secret that I despise Avatar, but I never even said, oh, I had a great you know, people sometimes say, oh, the story was terrible, but what a great world. I just didn't think the world was that, you know, that memorable.
You know, for a few minutes, I think it looks cool, but I don't think it holds water.
Yeah, speaking of which, the holding water, I mean, the floating mountains and the waterfalls, I guess it's kind of interesting. I don't know, there's like a lot of, see, the other thing is that the whole world is used as a crutch for a lot of storytelling stuff, you know? Like,
right.
You know, like, oh, speaking of, you know, Eric, you joke about the magic for Lost. Well, that's what's in Pandora, you know? Like, oh, our comms don't work because of the magic. You know, we can't see the blue people because of the magic, you know? So there's just a lot of plot devices. But
a lot of crutches, yeah. A
lot of crutches, yeah. So.
Then again, Dave, you're bitter and hate life or something like
that's
true,
right? Correct.
Yeah.
That is correct, so. Okay, well, Eric, wrap us up.
All right. Wide open topic. I didn't even mean to say it that way, but Windows.
Windows.
Wide open.
Windows.
That was an inadvertent.
Okay. Wow. See, there's a mini game within the ambush topic. It's trying to maybe look at what you just talked about that you've seen recently and try to steal your submission to the ambush topic.
Good luck.
Think.
Good luck, Dave.
Can you guess what's the inspiration for Windows?
It was just a random association.
All right.
So good luck.
I'm trying to think of a scene from a movie. I'm sure there was a scene of a movie where some people were in a ship and it was getting pressurized and the window was cracking. You know, if it like broke, they'd all be dead. But I can't remember what that was.
Wait, with the windows cracking
and they're going to fall?
Or there's some kind of pressurized environment. I don't know.
There's a scene in Lost World when there's like the big glass window on the train in there. That's a fall. No? Okay.
I'm
remembering a movie where a tornado or a hurricane smashes through a window, but I can't remember the movie.
Not Twister, right?
Not Twister. It was way before that. It was when I was young. And it made a big impression on me, and I cannot think of what it was. But I remember the scene.
All right, I'll go with Airplane. There's just a quick throwaway gag, but of course that's a movie of all throwaway gags. But just one of the guys is smoking, and they say, could you please put out your cigarette? And he opens the window on the airplane, and everyone gets sucked in. That's Oh, okay, I got another one, too. Speaking of Airplane 1, The Death of Goldfinger. Getting sucked out of the airplane window. That's pretty great.
Yeah, no, that is good, even though I don't know if it's scientific.
I don't think it's physically possible. It was one of those kind of goofy-looking deaths that would probably be terrifying to experience, kind of like the dude from Liver Let Die who got inflated to death.
Was that everybody? I guess that's everybody.
I thought Daryl's
answer was a vague remembrance.
Yeah, is that the one you want to click?
Quite an answer. If that's what I have to go with eventually, ultimately, then well, I guess
you,
I can. But
anyway, you get through. We'll get back to you after.
Yeah.
I'll go with the first one that I thought of, which is the scene in Poltergeist when the tree reaches through the window and grabs the kid.
Nice.
There you go.
And actually, I haven't seen this movie. But I guess it's pretty infamous. It's the Salem's Lot TV movie, right? Wasn't there like a really terrifying scene of a vampire kid floating up to the window?
I think that's right, yeah. As Toby Hooper made that movie, I think. Is that correct?
I think so, actually.
Well, Daryl. I don't know if the scene is in the movie The Mist, but in the story The Mist, there's like their window gets all blown out during the storm. Is that what you're? It's not what you're thinking of, of course.
No, it's way earlier than that. Somebody gets like the wind. They don't board the window up, and then the window blows in, and somebody gets their face full of glass. And I remember the scene distinctly. And maybe it's just a blocked out memory from my own life.
Nice. Well, feel free to post the answer to that in the jury room.
I'm gonna have to wind up posting it later because I blanked out on that.
Alas. Well,
anything else from a horror movie, Daryl? You can go.
No, I don't think it was a horror movie.
Do you have any other answers from horror movies?
Well, I mean, that's sort of where I'm going at.
Like zombies, right. You know, busting through windows, right?
We'll go with Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula when Dracula goes in through Winona Ryder's window, and that's when she falls in love with him.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Way to salvage
that. That's a pretty lame answer, but...
Nah, you salvaged it. You stuck the landing.
And could you go with, would Halloween count when Michael Myers is... Does he go out through a window, or does he go out through the... I guess it's more of like a balcony, isn't it? It's not really a window.
Yeah, he gets shot off the balcony.
All right, so that's not even a window.
It's not really a window. But that, yeah, those things cross my mind, too. But, yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch of horror movies that have to do with... I was trying to think of some Western where somebody gets thrown through a window, but for some reason I can't think of that either. You've confounded me.
Well, I mean, pretty much any movie that takes place in a building, there's probably a window involved. Yeah. Some, you know, so, like I said, wide open.
Nice. Well, on that pun yet again, I say we end this podcast. So thank you to Daryl and Eric and Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com as email. And tune in next week when it finally dawns on Daryl what that scene was. Have a great weekend.
Yes.